chance to kind of update you on the Set Free Ministries. And I actually encroached upon the singing a little bit because Karen's written three songs for us for our prison ministry. One of them had to do with a rabbit, which was my daughter's little pet. Scared Like a Rabbit was the song. Second one was about just Set Free. That was the name of the other song she wrote. And then she wrote another song called On Death Row, which all three songs I requested her to write. As you know, we have been involved with prison ministry for quite a few years, and the main focus of our ministry has been at Potosi Correctional Center and later at Southeast Correctional Center. But at Potosi Correctional Center was the Max 5 prison that housed death row inmates and lifers without parole when we first started working in this ministry. And we had some interesting discussions with the men in that particular prison in the different Bible studies we had. And one of the interesting discussions we had was how it feels to be a lifer or on death row. And basically what happens is that guys check into this institution and they know they're going to go out in a coffin. And when they check in, they've lost everything. They've lost family. They've lost their belongings. They've lost their job. They've lost everything. And in the discussions we had, we realized that really these men are getting to the place all of us eventually come to. Because there's a day in every man and every woman's life when your journey on this earth is ended, and indeed you're going to lose your family, you're going to lose your belongings, you're going to you get the point. And so what's interesting about these men is that they come to that place prematurely. In other words, they experience the loss of all things. And unless they have something to look beyond this world, they have no hope. And so Karen wrote a song about On Death Row. And basically the message of this song is, we are all on death row. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And, you know, it's not particularly politically correct at Potosi Correctional Center to agree that the death penalty is the correct thing. And when they address that to me, and they always test you, new guys always are testing you, I just say to them, who instituted the death penalty? The wages of sin is death. And they don't talk to me after that, right? Because, I mean, who's going to argue with God? So we have this song, and we've had a hard time. Kevin has really been working on this song because, you know, we have advanced beyond where I am in terms of media. I brought CDs and DVDs, and we don't have DVD players here anymore. So he's gone and tried to get this all set up. So we're going to have this. Then Grant's going to give an introduction. I'm going to give a brief update. And Louis Dooley is going to share with us something of the meaning of Set Free in his life while he was in prison. And I just hope that this works, okay? Thank you.
Well, I want to thank everybody for giving us the opportunity to tell you guys a little bit about what we do. And sorry for you guys, you're stuck with another Gruber. You can't get rid of us. You can have one or the other. Then you'll finally get Lewis in the end. But we live in a world that is increasingly drifting away from the truth. We see it every day, whether you turn on the news and see a politician giving a news conference and blatantly lying, and then if you object to it, you're the radical, you're insane, or this proliferation of an idea that you choose your gender and all these other things. And one of our core verses at Set Free Ministries has been John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Our goal is to present the truth of a loving Savior to all the lost men and women in prison. A couple of months ago, I attended a concert during spring break. It was a good concert, had some good messages, but as the lead singer talked between sets, he said this: "As a lyricist for me, every word I've written has always been about one thing, and that is struggling to find the truth. Wherever it may be, I'm a truth seeker." Sounds pretty good, right? "And so many people claim to tell you the truth in your lifetime. I have no answers. I am no preacher. I am no supreme person of knowledge. But one thing I know, and that's that nobody knows your truth for you. Nobody can tell you what truth is but you. And in that I find peace. And that's what this band is all about. It is simply a quest to find where love lies, where truth lies. I have not found it yet, but certainly when I am here singing with people from all across the world, it's the closest thing I get to feeling some supreme magic." At that point in the concert, I wanted to desperately reach out and take that microphone and explain to him and that audience, as they cheered and clapped for what he said, that I know what real love and truth is. And it is found in the Bible and Jesus Christ. And that this idea that your truth is what you make it, with no true reference point for what is just and true, is why things seem so messed up in the world today and you all feel so lost and hopeless. Honestly, the truth of this life without the Lord is somewhat brutal and harsh. The good times seem few and far between. People get sick, get cancer, die. They commit crimes and end up spending the rest of their lives in prison. I want to talk about three truths that can change that hopeless perspective. First, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The truth is that we are a terribly sinful people. We are not good people, whether we're sitting in prison or out on the streets. We are fallen beings. I fully admit it is by God's incredible grace my parents aren't visiting me in prison, and I thank God for that often. Many of you know about my temper and everything, and trust me, it's gotten in trouble many times. Even though when we think that we are our best, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6, our righteousness is as filthy rags. How different this is than most people's truth that they are a good person. And good people go to heaven. This also answers that question that all struggle with about why life is so harsh and unfair. The truth is, because we live in a fallen, sinful world, and if all you do is live for this world, prepare to be disappointed. Second, the truth is, there is hope and love available to all of us, but you won't find it in yourself. God sent his son to die for each and every one of us, no matter how terrible a sinner we are. The verse we all quote so often, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I know we quote this verse often, but I want to point something out. People always like to make statements about the really bad people in prison, the ones that have done things that almost everyone in society considers unacceptable. They say, "Well, I'm just not sure about someone that's done that." But nowhere in my Bible is there an exception clause for the heinousness of the sin or for Christ's redeeming blood. And if you think it doesn't apply to that sinner, then you aren't reading the truth of what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, I want to point out that that also doesn't mean that on this earth there aren't terrible consequences for what we've done, and becoming a Christian does not exclude us from those consequences. But they are entitled as believers to the hope of heaven, and you have no right to think Christ's blood is not powerful enough to cover their sins or to change their lives. And now the third and last truth I want to bring to your attention is that no matter how terrible of sinners we are, Philippians 3:20 through 21 tells us, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Again, there are no qualifiers. All of us as humans, no matter what terrible things we have done, Christ loved us and shed his blood for us. And none of us that believe in him will have a glorious transformation, no matter how terrible a life we lived on earth. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." I want these men and women to know that no matter what has happened on this earth, that heaven will be a place where they are finally free of the consequences of this life and the constant reminders of our sin in this world. This is my truth, and this is what we at Set Free do our best to share with men and women that are in prison every day. I'm excited for you to hear about what is going on in the ministry, and I definitely want to thank all those that already support us financially and in your labors and all the work you do, and your great help. And without your help, we can carry on the ministry as we do. But now my dad's going to come up, and he's going to give you some stats and tell you a little bit about what's going on, and then Lewis will come up and give about a 20-minute message. So thank you for your time.
Well, it's not hard for me to talk about Set Free. I've been involved in it since 1971, and it grew out of a group of guys that were young men at that time, in our 20s, praying in under a tree over at Phil and Judy Smith's house every Saturday morning and pleading to God, show us what you want us to do with our lives. And out of that came a number of ministries, one of which was Emmaus Correspondence School, St. Louis, and now known as Set Free Ministries within the prisons. 1974, we incorporated, and it's kind of interesting because the two young men that are with me today, and I see them as young because of my age, but we incorporated in 1974. Both of them came into the world, as our brother was talking about when he came. Both of them came into the world in 1974. So Grant and Lewis are both the same age, and they have the same year birthday. It's not hard for me to remember how old they are, because I remember when we incorporated Set Free. But in any case, I kind of came in the back door to get into prison ministry. I had a friend of mine, David Hausman, who is a brother of two of the Hausman girls that are gotten married here. And Phil's here, but Jane's not here. And Ann's back there. Their brother, Daniel, got in trouble with the law and got sent to the county jail. And Dave asked me if I'd go visit him. And so I visited him in the county jail, and then he moved on to Fulton Reception Center, and I visited him there, and then he moved on to Church Farm, and I visited him there. And that took about a six-month period of time during which I was handing out enrollment cards to Emmaus to the people in the visiting rooms. I was hoping to get people on the streets taking these courses. Well, after 6 months, I had over 200 inmates taking the courses. It kind of shocked me, but I began to be involved in prison ministry. And then I was in Marble Hill when Warren James was on his deathbed down in Marble Hill. And he looked at me and he said, "I've been praying that the Lord would raise up somebody to take my place." Actually, Warren James started the prison ministry down in Potosi and Farmington. His wife would even drive him and work on courses while he was walking cell to cell, encouraging people to study the Bible with Emmaus courses. So I looked at him, and I'll never forget this. I was sitting there next to his bedside. He was dying. And I looked at him and I said, "Warren, I think you're looking at the man God has raised up." And boy, did he beam. And there was no turning back after that, of course. I couldn't. I had to keep my word. And so that started me into prison ministry. And I would have never chosen it. I love working with youth. I love working with young people. I love what I was doing. I love teaching. But the Lord had a different purpose for my life. And now after, about 50 years working with Set Free and Emmaus, it's being passed on to the younger generation. Some people may wonder how in the world we ever got inside of prisons, and I'll very quickly say this because I've got a video that I want you to see because it's got some two really handsome men in it that I want you to see. But anyway, I got 200 students, and I was in my room and books all around me, and everybody said if there was an earthquake, I'd die under a volume of books, and I would have. And I was sending out courses, I was grading courses, I was doing everything myself, 200 people. And I realized I can't really grow this ministry unless I could train other people to do what I was doing. So I immediately tried to get people within the churches, and most people in the churches at that time thought prison ministry was a waste of time. And in fact, the support that I had presently at that time pretty well left me after I decided to do prison ministry. And so I prayed, and the Lord led me to a passage in 1 Samuel 22 where David was hiding out in a cave and all these ruffians were coming to him, people in debt, people who were discontent, people who were just societally rejected. And I realized I was looking in the wrong place. I needed to get inside the prison and find men who were willing to work for Set Free. And so it took me 5 years and 3 requests before the door opened and we walked into Potosi Correctional Center, and they gave us an office in a closet of the chapel without any windows, just one door, big enough for 2 people to sit in it, and Set Free Ministries opened its first office inside the prisons. And from that day, we had 2 workers, and we've grown to have sometimes up to 40 workers working for us inside the prisons. And these men have been unbelievably valuable. And I'd like for several of them are here today. Just stand up back there, the men who have worked in a Set Free office and for Set Free. There you go. There's 4 of them. And Charles Forrester was one of the best instructors I've ever had in the prison system. He's now got a wife, Julie, who's with him today. And Tim Batts has been one of the most faithful men that have worked with us down at Southeast. And he was at Potosi and then Southeast. Were you at Potosi? He can't hear real well. But anyway, he was... And he's been doing mail for us for 3 years now. I don't have time to go on because I want Lewis to have at least 20 minutes, and the video I have is 10 minutes long. This video was recorded 15 years ago. And you think, oh my, this is outdated. Well, it still shows you exactly what we do. And what you really like about this is that there's this one guy without any hair, really good-looking guy. You'll see him at least from his back, but that's how you can recognize him. And then you got this young guy that in these dreadlocks, and he's here to speak to you after I sit down. When we took these videos, we didn't think we'd ever see these guys on the streets. But the Lord has, that's a story in itself, how God has worked to bring these guys out on the streets with us. But again, we are a church far beyond my abilities because electronically, we don't use DVDs here anymore. And I brought a DVD to show. So they've been working on it. And has Kevin been able to get that? He's still working on it. Okay, his thumbs up. Okay, well, here goes. We're gonna try to show this video. Now, it's dated, but it's got the message that you need to hear, okay? And I want everybody to laugh when you see the two fellas I said, okay? Can we get it going? I don't think we can all fit in that back office. The Well, I can go on and say more that I was going to say, and whenever it starts, we'll just stop, okay? So, any case, we got into Potosi Correctional Center, and we had an office there that started in a closet, went to a side office next to the chaplain, went to what's now the barber's office at Potosi, and then eventually they gave us the largest classroom in the institution, and we are in that classroom now with 10 stations of computers, and 9 guys are right now working in that particular office. And since we began, we have distributed approximately 750,000 courses. We have had a number of people who have completed all of our courses. We give them in English and Spanish, and if they go completely through our curriculum, they study through the Bible twice. At present, we're distributing around 14,000 courses a year and grading a little over 11,000 on our schedule. But you have to understand, before the pandemic, we were double what we're doing right now. We had a terrible situation during the pandemic where for 3 solid months, the Postal Service did not deliver any of our mail that we shipped. We lost almost a majority of our students. We went from 2,000 plus courses being graded down to under 500 courses being graded a month. And by the time they did get the packages into the mail, a lot of them came back to us. We spent hundreds of dollars getting packages back because men had moved on and they just weren't there anymore. So in any case, we have like 100 courses in EMEA's curriculum. We have 20 in everyday publications up in Canada. We have 7 in the Source of Life, and we have 6 in the NAV courses. We have in English and Spanish, and we have Frank and Martha here with us today. I want you to see them. If it weren't for this man, we would not have a Spanish work. And Frank, just stand up for a minute there. And that's his lovely wife next to him. And he, like I, have retired. And he only works about 40 hours a week on Emmaus. But nonetheless, we really appreciate Frank. And in the course of the years that we've worked, the men in these prisons have produced a commenter's guide for every single Emmaus course that we have that helps people comment on the courses. And these commenter's guides have been put on the worldwide Emmaus website, and they're being used around the world. And furthermore, we have what we call captives' corners, which are kind of like summary sheets on different issues and questions in the Bible. And we have those also posted, and they are being used worldwide. These have been produced primarily by offenders within the prison system. So that's pretty exciting for us. In the 2 inmate offices we have right now, we have 27 offenders working for us. 15 are full-time paid. We have 45 volunteers in our St. Louis office. We have some, and probably one of the ones that has worked for us the longest, Jean West. And occasionally she brings her husband with her. And he works for us too. And we have Carol Sipple and Sue Holgrew with us, and they both faithfully work in the office every week. And we have others, but they're not with us today. Have I missed anybody? Has anybody snuck in when they weren't looking? But in any case, I did want to say thank you to these people, because without them, well, we wouldn't be getting this work done. We've had literally hundreds of offenders that have completed all of our courses. That means they've studied through the Bible twice. Is it ready? No? And, good. I said I'd shut up. I got to be a man of my word. Go ahead.
Now I got no sound.
Tell us what you're saying.
I'm saying that 1 out of every 15 adults in the United States that have incarcerated or on parole.
says if you want to reach this culture with the gospel, go to prison.
That is what I was saying.
Well, that's okay. I'll bring this some other day, and we'll show it when we get it worked out. So in any case, we've had hundreds of people who have completed our curriculum, and just yesterday I went and got the mail, and we get these letters every day. If I give a report, I can just open the mail that day, and we get a letter from people. And this lady, well, I'll read her letter. And whenever this interrupts me, that's fine. It says, "Dear friends in Christ Jesus, hello, my name is Bernadette Lesader. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I've been doing Emmaus Correspondence Ministries for the last 20 years. I've thoroughly enjoyed each lesson I have done and the wonderful encouraging words that my multiple instructors have written to me these years. Your Bible studies and words of love and encouragement have helped me walk the narrow path with Jesus. As of May 21st, 2022, I will no longer be an inmate but a member of society once again. After 22 years, my 12-12 date, that means she's out full, free of any parole and everything, 12-12 date has finally arrived. All praise and glory to God. I would love to continue my studies with ECS if at all possible, for I will truly need to keep focused on God and readjust to a world that is no longer as safe nor friendly to ex-offenders. Again, thank you all for helping me grow in my faith. God bless you." We get these letters daily. And I read them to our people in the office. But in any case, we've been privileged to be a part of this work. We've been very thankful, as my son has already said, to the people in this church that have gotten behind us and supported us financially, as well as with workers that have come and given their time and their energy, part of their life, to what we do. And I look back, and while I may have some regrets in terms of maybe not giving my family as much time as I should have, I don't have any regrets for the number of times I've walked into prisons, heard that door shut behind me, and realized that I was bringing a life message of hope to people who are relatively hopeless. And I think the guys will bear witness to that. So we're going to let you listen to one of them. Louis Dooley is a fellow that I met in prison down at Potosi Correctional Center. The day I met him, I liked him. He was just a likable guy. He still is a likable guy most of the time. And I'll never forget, you know, he was just a real vibrant young guy, and I thought, man, this guy's got talent, this guy's got spirit, this guy's got, he's different, he's got something here. And then I'd give him a Born to Win, and then he'd disappear for 2 months. I would never see him. And then he'd come out again, and I'd give him another Born to Win. And, well, he'll tell you about that. But he got the nickname from me of Lazarus, because it was like he would keep rising from the dead. He would be gone, and then all of a sudden he'd reappear. And so I called him Lazarus, but he became one of the instructors, actually, in our Bible study down on Thursday nights. And we have inmates that we're training to be instructors and training to preach and everything, so that if they ever get out on the streets, they're ready to go. And, well, he was one of the instructors, and he'll talk about that. So, Lewis, tell Kevin, forget about that video. And I tell you, this fellow right here, you'd have loved to see the hairdo he had in prison.
I mean, they see it all the time. If you watch an NBA game, you've probably seen it.
Oh, yeah, that's...
All right. Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you, Grant. Thank you for the leadership here at Fenton Bible. I got two things. One, is God good?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Are you guys hungry?
Yes.
Because I could eat. I could eat. But first, this. And so I was told by a dear friend that, you know, 20 minutes or like as long as you keep the people's interest. So until the last person falls asleep, I'm going to talk. So we might be able to watch several videos. We got an NBA game later on today. So, you know, we might be here for a while. So they hopefully some donuts left. But thank you for this time. I just want to share with you some experiences that I've had. Randy's already talked about experiences he had personally being in Potosi, where I went as a young 20-year-old person that had given their life to Christ in the county jail in Clayton. But I didn't know what was next. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't really know nothing about God. I just knew that this guy named Jesus said that he would die for my sins and give me a new life if I put my faith in him. So that's what I did. And then I met Randy, and as he said, he gave me Born to Win. And I've probably done Born to Win, I don't know, man, maybe 80 times. And you'll know why in a minute when I share, but I'm very acquainted with Born to Win. And it's a great course. It's all about salvation. So if you don't have salvation at the end of it, then you just might not get it, because that's what it's all about. And so I had the privilege, and I use the word privilege intentionally, because I count it as a privilege to be able to share anything about God or anything from his word to other people, because I value the word of God as high as anything. You know, if anything in this world is to be put on a pedestal that's tangible, it is to be the word of God. And so I'm always a little nervous, always a little knees knocking a little bit when I get an opportunity to share, because I want to honor God's word. And the greatest way I found to honor God's word is to use in the ministry God has allowed me to be a part of with other people, to use, kind of use it on them, right? This worked on me, so let me work it on somebody else. That's kind of like my mindset, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so getting a chance to get out of prison, not knowing if I ever would, and then moving up to the Chicagoland area, go Cubs. That's for you, Dan. You know, the Lord said, I let you out of prison when you didn't think you were getting out, or maybe you shouldn't have gotten out, just so I could send you back in. And I had honestly prayed and told God I'd do anything but go back into a prison. And that wasn't the right prayer, but I was like, you know what, I want to do something different. But I had to humble myself through the help of Randy by giving me an opportunity to work with Set Free. And that was a blessing. That was the start of something that I didn't know what God was going to do. But I just want to share two things of what God is doing that not only Set Free helped like begin, but also is still having its tentacles all throughout. And that's Cook County Jail. And so Cook County Jail is a ministry in Chicago that started, I think, even before 1974, when Emmaus Correspondence School St. Louis was officially documented. And there was other men that went before that started cultivating the work. And the Lord allowed me to be able to get in there. And I thought, man, God, like, I got time. I'm doing ministry. I'm helping guys when they get out find jobs, find a place to get food, find clothing. And I'm discipling them. You know, I'm trying to help them spiritually because I can't give them a place to live or anything like that. And so the county jail opened up. I started going in, and I thought, man, Lord, like, it's going to take a lot of time to be able to put together like a Bible study. And that's not really my gift. You know, I can do it, but it might take me a lot longer than it would Randy. And I thought, man, let me use the courses. And so what we do is, and I truly believe it's an idea from God, and we see much fruit from it, is I go in, I introduce myself, and, you know, because of, I guess, the way I sound, the way I look, a lot of guys feel like, okay, he's kind of like one of us. And I am, in the sense that I was a prisoner, but my background is much like their backgrounds as well. So I get credibility, and I get a chance to have an instant bond with a lot of guys. And so I say, hey, man, who wants to learn about God? Who thinks they know about God? Who wants to know about heaven and hell? You know, common questions that we all have once had in our lives. And guys raise their hands, and I say, hey, I'm coming in here every week, and I'm going to spend time with y'all, and we can answer some of those questions and maybe many more. So who's in? And then guys raise their hand, and I say, I got this book. Now let me tell you about this book. And it's an Emmaus course. It's a Born to Win. Tell them about the book, what it entails. And I say, look, if you commit to taking this book, then that means you're going to do the homework, and you're going to participate when I come back in, because this book costs money. And people have worked hard in their lives, and they've contributed money because they care about you. And even though they won't come in or can't come in, they still are trying to be obedient to what the Lord is calling them to help impact your life. So if you take this book, take it seriously. And if you decide to change your mind before I come back, give it back to me. And that's it. Don't use it for domino paper or to try to write your girlfriend a letter or something like that. So guys, take the book. They have to do, we do a chapter a week. And so they read through, they answer questions. I do the same. That's why I've done it about 80 or 100 times. Because I every time, right, even though I know it, I go through and read it and I answer the questions again. And we go back in, and it's great. It's a great conversation starter. I've got a team of volunteers who are very much different than myself. They're more middle-class, suburban guys that have grown up differently. They look differently. And they're like, I feel like I want to help. I feel like the Lord may be saying, go. But what can I do? I'm not like a theologian. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I've been in church all my life, and I love the Word of God, and I know it fairly well. Like, how can I help? And I'm like, okay, that's great. Here's the course. And so I got guys that are going in. Tomorrow night I'll be here in this area, but I got guys going into Cook County Jail, into maximum security. That's where we go, to the worst of the worst guys in Chicago. So, you know, the guys that are shooting people and, you know, doing all that crazy stuff. These are the guys that we're ministering to, and they love it. The guys inside, the detainees, because they haven't been convicted yet in the county jail, they love the volunteers, and the volunteers love going in. And it's kind of a crazy, weird dynamic, because it'd be like the odd couple, right? The most unlikely people who would be together and love each other. But the reason why is this: hunger and love. These guys in jail and prison, and I can speak to that because I'm on both sides now. I was a prisoner, and now I'm going inside to work with prisoners. There's a hunger that's there. There's a hunger for life. There's a hunger for God. And I don't know about you, but when I'm out and about in the world, unless I'm intentional about knocking on somebody's door or going to somebody when they're pumping gas or wherever in the grocery store, kind of chit-chatting while I'm waiting to check out, like, how much opportunity do I get a chance to talk about Jesus with somebody that's going to be receptive, especially in light of what Grant shared? Is, man, you own your truth. Whatever is true to you, that's your truth. Well, the problem with that is if we got two different truths and we come in proximity, it's going to be a problem. Because if I think it's okay to take your stuff and you think it's not okay, that's going to create a problem. So this whole concept of own your own truth is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Because the word of God is what is truth. God is truth. And so what better opportunity is it to be able to go into a place where guys are saying, hey, I want to hear about Jesus. I want to learn about the Bible. I mean, it's incredible to me. You've heard the phrase, like, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's like fishing in a well-stocked pond. I mean, that's what it is. You know, it's almost like a cheat. It's like a cheat. It's like an easy way to do evangelism and discipleship, because you're going to people that already says, I want it, right? You don't have to sell anybody on it. There's little to no risk. This is my salesman pitch, by the way. There's little to no risk. I mean, Randy can tell you, when's the last time a volunteer has been attacked? Probably never. There's never been one attacked in my ministry. And that comes to my second part, is because of love. These people who are in jail and prison, oftentimes, not every one of them, oftentimes they really don't know what love is. They didn't have anyone really love them, and they have no clue of what the love of God is. They're clueless. So when they get a guy that talks different, looks different, like everything is so different, but when they come in and they shake their hand and they sit down and they say, how can I pray with you? And they sit down and they answer questions. And then they come in the next week. And then the next week, and that consistency, that male consistency that most young urban people like myself did not have growing up, is foreign, but is filling a void that's in each and every human being, because there's something that God designed in us to have a desire to have a mother and to have a father. And when you're missing one of those components, it shapes you and molds you in a different way. That's number one, not godly, because that's not how God intended it to be. But that's because of our broken world. But these guys are missing that. But they get a form of that by us volunteers going in. So it's hunger, being hungry for the word of God. And it's them feeling the love of God by you coming in there giving them time. I was just last Monday, I didn't even plan on sharing this, and I'm kind of an off the script, off the cuff kind of guy sometimes. Let the Holy Spirit lead, right? But he'll lead me when I wrote. I'm sure he led Grant when he typed this thing out. But I'm sitting here like it's like 8:30 p.m. Monday. It's time to be gone. I've been there like 3 hours already. And my volunteer is sitting there, and guess what he's doing? He's teaching the Spanish guy the alphabet. Yeah. I'm just like, let me just go sit my butt down. You know, so it's, I mean, it's the word of God first, but he's trying to teach a guy. He actually, my volunteer, and I didn't even know, he had written some stuff down at home and brought it with him to help this guy who can't speak English, can't read English. So it's very humbling, you know, to get a chance to see God at work, you know, and to just know that he used a wretch like me to be able to help facilitate something like that. Because I'm a wretch. I deserve to be in prison. And that's just the cruel, hard facts. But obviously, God had a different plan. Thank you. And so that is going on. And while that has been going on, all of a sudden I get a phone call about 2 months ago from the religious service staff at Cook County Jail. And they said, hey, Mr. Dooley, you know, your Bible studies, our goal is to plant Bible studies. People out here talking about church planting, right? Let's plant a church everywhere. Okay, that's fine. I'm planting Bible studies in prison, right? I need volunteers to do it. Unfortunately, we're not in Chicago. But if you want to move up there, like, I got some work for you. And so they say we're being getting good reports from officers and other units seeing that, like, whatever it is you got going on must be doing good, because officers are contacting them saying, hey, can these guys in our unit get that? And then they said, and they're also getting requests from the detainees, you know, guys that are waiting to go to trial, saying, hey, I see this guy walking around here, and he don't look like really nobody else that's walking around here that can go in and out. And he's carrying a clear, I look like a miniature Randy Gruber with a tan. I'm walking around with this clear and black hair. I got this plastic bag I'm walking around with full of books and stuff, and it's about to bust at the seams. And they're like, these guys like are asking, who is this guy? Like, they feel like maybe he can talk to them and maybe pray for them and stuff like that. So they said, we just realized, Mr. Dooley, we just want to offer you to be a chaplain. Now, it's not like a paid job or anything. Which I would have turned down, you know, because then I got responsibilities from them, right? But they said, we just want to offer you. And I said, what are responsibilities, right? I'm not just going to say yes. I've learned, you know, after 48 years, like, I need to ask questions before I commit. So they said, well, basically, you can come in any day, anytime, as much as you want. I was like, that sounds like a backstage pass, like at a concert or something, right? Like an all access. So I'm like, are you for real? I said, okay, check this out. I asked one question. I said, I'm trying to start Bible studies all over Cook County. They usually run about 9,000 people in the jail. I mean, it's like city blocks of buildings. They probably around 7-ish thousand, not because they slapping people on the wrist left and right, which is crazy. But I said, if I wanted to start 50 Bible studies, you know, I thought of a big number. That's 50, that's a lot. Could I do that? She was like, not only could you do it, we have units that don't have any religious services, and we would love for you to start in those units first. I was like, wow, like, this got to be from God. It ain't from the devil. The devil ain't saying, go spread the word of God around the jail. So that's been a blessing. It's been amazing. I've only had a chance to expand in one other unit, which will be the second thing I'll talk about. But what I'm doing now is reaching out to pastors in different churches that have sound doctrine and good theology, what we believe, to find volunteers to go in. Because I get volunteers, I train them, and when they get comfortable, when the guys inside get comfortable with them, then I leave them where I'm at, and then I go kind of break open a new unit. So it's truly like planning a Bible study. And so another officer hears about me in this other unit that is a unit unlike anything I've ever seen. There are guys, only like 8 of them in this unit, so small, they're handcuffed to the table. Handcuffed to the table. That speaks to their level of violence and their mental instability. And so they're like, here, go in here with these guys. And I step in there, I almost want to start crying. I mean, I've seen guys handcuffed to stuff when they get in a fight or they doing something crazy, but these guys, like when they're out, they got to be handcuffed to a table. And I'm just like, okay, God, what do I do? What I'm going to do for these guys? I want to go hug them, you know, and say, man, like, let's talk. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to go with my old standard, born to win. So, you know, I didn't know them, didn't have much expectation other than to somehow try to have conversations about the word of God and try to present something to them that they can chew on, that they can understand mentally, and that will stick. And so I said, do y'all want to do homework or do y'all want to read through the course together? And they all said, let's read through the course together. Right, I probably would have said that too. But I said, okay, so what we do is we take that same Born to Win and we get a chapter, I'll read a page, and then we'll take turns reading. So we read through the Bible verses, we read through the other information that William McDonald, who wrote Born to Win, had written. And then we start talking about the multiple choice questions. And two Thursdays ago, I had the greatest time I've ever had in my life, either being in a prison as a prisoner or being a volunteer. Because all the guys, it was six of them that day, they were all 100% engaged by us talking back and forth. The two officers in the unit are always the same, which is not always the truth. But because of the volatility, they use the same guys. They each got a book. They were engaged. They're asking questions. They're answering questions. I mean, it was a time, you know, it's been rare in my life that I've seen the power of the Holy Spirit working this much, this soon amongst people. And I was leaving and I felt like I was just levitating. Like I wasn't even walking. My feet wasn't touching the ground. But it was an amazing time to get a chance to get to know these guys. This past Thursday, I was in there. Didn't want to leave again, but I had some other things I had to tend to. But it was great. It's really great, and it speaks to God and His power. You know, there's nothing in us that's good. I think Grant read that passage in Isaiah that says our righteousness is as filthy rags, and they are. You know, our righteousness is nothing. His righteousness is everything. You know. Like, was it 2 Corinthians 5:21, you know, that someone read earlier. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God, you know. So there's nothing about me, and with all due respect, there's nothing about none of y'all either. There's nothing about any of us but the God in the person of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that can equip us to do a work. And so the last few minutes I'm going to take is, as I was thinking, it's like I'm in a church that the word of God is like the thing. So I would be remiss if I don't have something from the Bible to read, to apply to our lives and to what I spoke about. And so, very popular verse, call me a sellout, call me taking the easy way out, I don't care. But in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, which I'm sure, I know Randy knows those passages. And any of you that's ever been in a high capacity volunteer level, this is kind of like the go-to passage. But for those of you that aren't familiar with it, I'm going to read it for you. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 35, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. Seeing the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. We've all no doubt probably at least read this passage or heard this passage preached before, but in light of us, Set Free Ministries, and what God started to work in 71 and 74, And now we're in 2022, 48 years later. I know that because I was born in 74, as Randy said, that Jesus was going through the cities and villages, right? And Set Free is going through cities and villages, too. You know, they're not the ones that you get in your car and drive to, but they're called jails and they're called prisons. And those are cities and those are villages, you know, a little different type of city or village, but I'd liken them to cities and villages. You know, it said Jesus was proclaiming the gospel, right? He was proclaiming the kingdom. You know, Guys that are incarcerated need the gospel, right? We all need the gospel. And getting the gospel isn't a one-time thing. We need the gospel washed over us and preached to us daily to keep us right so that we can win the war against our flesh that wants to sin. So we can be able to have a chance to fight off these fiery darts that Satan is like shooting. You know, he ain't shooting darts at me. He got big old like missiles he's shooting at me. And they be hitting sometime, man. It don't feel good. But he says Jesus saw the crowds and he felt compassion. You know, where I live in the suburbs of Chicago, if you're familiar, many times people come up, where are you at? I live kind of by Wheaton. A lot of people know Wheaton because of Wheaton College that's there. I'm about 15, 20 minutes from Wheaton and Bartlett, Illinois, which is a little northwest of Wheaton. Pretty affluent areas around there. People don't have much compassion from prisoners. You know, it's not easy to find volunteers, you know, because a lot of those people have other things that become responsibilities that I say that they put above the main thing. You know, to me, the main thing is God, right? He's a jealous guy. He doesn't like idols in our lives. And oftentimes, at least where I'm at, I don't know about here. And if your toes are getting crunched on a little bit, then I guess they say, hey, if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, priorities of other things like work, like golf, like baseball games and basketball games become something that overtakes the discipline that a child learns to be honoring the word of God by being in church, by being in a youth group or a WANA or like an adult type Bible study throughout the week. You know, these things become the main responsibility. And I'm not against any of those things. Let me say that. Not against any of those things. But if those things are replacing the main thing, right? And a lot of times as parents, we're outsourcing our children's spiritual formation to an Awana, to some other group, to church, to Sunday school. And that's, again, those things are great, but it's our job to be training our children up in the ways of the Lord. I believe that's our job. And so Jesus understands that there's a group of people, man, how you cut this thing off? Okay, there's a group of people who need to hear the gospel, right? Everybody needs to hear it, but there's this special group that oftentimes people in our society feel like need to be tucked away, and they are tucked away. You don't see them, right? You don't really know anything about them, and they're just existing, and there's nothing really being done inside to try to help these guys. You have to want to help yourself. So the guys, us that stood up back there when they asked to stand up, we're here today first and foremost because the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit and changing a person's life. That's why we're here. But we had to be intentional and seek things out to help us, like, traverse being in prison and all the things that are trying to keep you in and keep you tripped up. By the grace of God and only his power allowed us to be able to make it out, to even stand a chance. And there's thousands of more people just like us. And Set Free Ministries and Randy and Grant, and I don't know if like Randy ever said, but you know, Grant has kind of taken over. You know, at some point Randy got retired. He got to sit down and enjoy his grandkids, which I know he does, but Grant is saying, I'm stepping up to the plate because he's seen the work. That's part of the legacy, the Gruber legacy. And I feel like a Gruber almost. That need to be like my pseudo name, you know? And so, you know, there are great things that are happening, but they can't happen without God's people. They can't happen without laborers. It just can't happen, you know. So my hope and my prayer today for all of you is that maybe you got some time in your life, or maybe you need to make some time for the Lord, and maybe you've been praying, God, what you want me to do? The prisons ain't that far from here. You got some OGs, some veterans. You got some veterans over here, Grant and Randy. You know what I mean? They it's a great team that you can get plugged into and become a part of. If you want to work on preaching, if you want to work on teaching the Bible study, it's great. So I'm looking for young college students or seminarians, right? Let's go into jail. Let's do some practice, right? Get some free practice on some guys. Not that it's doing anything wrong, but I try to figure out any kind of way to draw people in, because once you get in, then you get in. And so my hope is that you guys here, or maybe some people that you know that are seeking some opportunities, and it's not just in a prison. This is a prison ministry that you can do prison work from the comfort of your own home. You can come sit in a chair in an office somewhere and be perfectly safe, whenever you want, and you could be working on courses and not even be involved with guys directly if that's what you feel led. But thank you so much for this time. And if I can I close this time in prayer? All right, if you feel so led, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we are amazed by what you do in our lives. We are amazed by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, God, and it's not of our own, it's of your doing. And the fact that the great God who created everything will reach down into the fabric of this sinless earth and love us, even despite our sin. Even when we were in the midst of sin, Jesus, you were dying on the cross. And so we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I pray that we can even consider or even think that we can have a chance to be as faithful as you, Lord. But we should be crazy enough and to relentlessly pursue you and try to achieve that perfection, Lord, to try to chase after you and what you did and to be obedient to what your word calls us to, Lord. So we thank you for the transforming work you've done in our lives. It's not finished. It's not finished. It'll never be done until we reach heaven, Lord. But in the meantime, there's work for us to be done. There's a harvest out there that needs to be harvested. There's a field that needs to be harvested, Lord. And who are the ones to do it, Lord? It's us. It's your people, Lord, because there are other people who were once like some of us who were lost and had no hope, didn't know which way was left, up, down, right. We didn't know, God, but you know. And you want us to impact these people's lives. And so I just pray that you will give us the courage, give us the strength to take a step. To see, Lord, is this something that you may have for anyone here to get involved in, Lord? And also pray for this church, Lord, as they are churning out disciples, Lord, who are churning out disciples, who are loving one another and reaching people for your word, that you continue to love on this congregation, Lord God, and you help them to be the people that you want them to be. So we thank you so much for everything you have done, what you are doing, and what you'll continue to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
ECS Ministries, the word to the world.
The statistics show that perhaps 1 out of 15 adults will at some time spend time in a correctional facility, are on parole or probation. The amazing fact is that we can reach the world that we live in the United States through the prisons.
Mass Correspondence School, which is part of ECS Ministries, has been bringing the word to the world for over 60 years. But it was in 1977 that the prison ministry really took off and has grown steadily ever since. In addition to our standard curriculum of over 60 courses, we have 4 courses that are specifically designed to address the needs of prison inmates. We're very glad to see that through our courses, many inmates' lives have been transformed as they've studied God's word.
I say I was raised in the church, but the church wasn't really raised in me. The relationship with Jesus Christ wasn't really there. When I got arrested, it was a chaplain in St. Louis County Jail. Gave me a warning letter, and I read it, and you know, talking with him, I really saw the need for Jesus Christ in my life. So I decided to stop running because I'd already, so to speak, been caught. So it was like, you know, it was like the lowest point of my life where I really realize that I needed a relationship with Jesus.
ECS courses can be found in virtually any size institution in North America, from the smallest local jail to the largest federal prison in the country. Last year, over 350,000 courses were distributed through our prison ministry. We have a 50 prison coordinators, or PCs, throughout North America. Some of these prison coordinators are responsible for one state, and others may handle multiple states. Their responsibilities include administrative work, distribution through mailing, mailing costs, as well as finding volunteers to grade and comment on courses. One of our largest ministries is Set Free Prison Ministry out of Missouri.
When I began to distribute EMEA's courses inside the prison, the population of my student body grew rapidly. And it wasn't long that I realized that I would need more help if I were to extend beyond the 200 students that I had kind of plateaued with. And so I prayed before the Lord for a number of weeks and months looking for a solution to this. And the Lord really impressed me that, hey, you know, right there in the prison, there are men that could be brought to me, and that I could make them into godly men who could do this work. So after about 5 years and three recommended proposals, it was accepted that we set up an office inside of the Posey Correctional Center where men would not only be available to work for EMEA's correspondence school, but also they would be able to actually grade courses and begin to help me grade and distribute courses. So in a 10-year period, we'll enroll 25 to 30,000 students. Every year we enroll 2 to 3,000 students. Set Free Ministries is known as the prison ministry that's run from the inside because we have basically inmates running this work.
ECS offers almost 70 courses in English and nearly 35 courses in Spanish to inmates. Four of these courses are designed specifically for prison ministry work, including the very popular Born to Win, How to Succeed on the Streets, Proverbs for Life, and Doing Time with Jesus.
One student said about how to succeed on the street, if I had read this course before I got out of jail, I would not be back today.
I actually Born to Win is what got me. It was so simple, but yet it was profound. The truth of it.
I like the Born to Win, first of all, because that was the one that really started the journey into doing but all of them wanted to.
I took all the courses, all of them. I got kind of addicted to them. And I think I completed, you know, around 30 courses or so. I was in jail with 17 month period. It was a real rewarding experience. Taking the courses really opened my eyes to a lot of things that it's really heavy with children. So much I thank God for those courses because, man, those courses tough.
I'll study these courses and come to a true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ really helped me grow in my relationship with the Lord. You know,
the courses, you know, are something that you really rely on. It helps you approach the Lord, helps you search out the scriptures, become a friend.
And of course, the major correspondence courses are so Christ-centered, and that's what I really like about them because they're courses that really cause people to understand who Christ is, understand what he's done, and understand that through him we can come to the Father. And to me, that's the strength of the EMEA's courses.
An exciting part of the ECS prison ministry is knowing that the inmates never pay a dime for the courses, not even postal expenses. The PCs purchase the courses from the home office at a significant discount. This discount is given through funding and gifts designated for the prison ministry.
I had one man tell me, he said, dollar for dollar, there's not a better investment of your money than in the EMEA's correspondence school.
For those of you that have fun in the correspondence courses, it has been a humongous blessing in my life.
It has been a goal of ECS prison ministries to reach all inmates in North America with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is a daunting task, to be sure. However, there are many ways you can help. One way is a relatively new program called Jail Impact Ministries, which allows churches and individuals to go into local institutions with our courses. Another is funding. And finally, and most importantly, prayer.
I think the Lord's looking for young men. Last time I was at the prison conference for the EMEA's Correspondence School of Prison Coordinators, my son, who's around 30 years old, was with me. And sitting in a meeting, I felt this guy nudging me, and I said, yes, what? What do you want? He says, Dad, look around. And I said, yeah, what? And he said, Dad, don't you see? 10 years from now, we won't have a prison ministry. Because he looked at myself and most of the men that were involved in the prison ministry and realized that they were all very gray-haired men. and that's why we need men like you to step up, become a part of what we're doing.
Prison is a dark world. It is thrilling to see how the Word of God through the ECS courses makes an impact and changes lives.
Before coming to prison, I was on a dark road to hell. I was consumed with alcohol and driven by greed, and I didn't care who I harmed to get into what I wanted. Circumstances caused me to be convicted of first-degree murder and now sin to Missouri death row. My next learning was over. I began committing my suicide. But obviously, God had a much better plan for me. Upon arriving at prison, I was handed the Bible Correspondence Course from Century Ministries called Point of Mission. That was over 8 years ago, and since then, God's grace has not only saved me from an eternity in hell, but he has taken me off of death row, and he has guided me in completing over 100 Century Bible courses that have brought me to a knowledge of and a relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ that I never met. I know now, other than knowing Jesus as my Savior, and coming to prison was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Marvin was a guy that was a very evil person. The man had killed multiple people. He's serving 3 life terms running wild. He's never going to get out of prison. And he said when Christ came into his life, he said the demons were leaving his life. And he became a very wonderfully compassionate and very gentle person. And he gives the story, and I'll share this with you because this is really profound. He gives a story of receiving a letter from the streets, and he actually came into my Bible study and said, "Mr. Rainey, may I read a letter that I just got from the streets?" And he reads this letter about this guy that got saved in the streets. And there's tears running down his cheeks while he's reading this letter. And he said, "Well, I have to explain this to you. I hunted this man like you hunt an animal on the streets. I hated this man. I wanted to kill him. I twice had this man in my gun sight and was able to shoot him. And I couldn't understand why I couldn't get this man." Well, he says, "Now I know why. Because in God's plan, he was going to be my brother for all eternity." And the guys, you know, tears are just running down his cheeks.
I tell people, this is part of my own testimony that I always tell people around here, especially the guys that I live with, that these are actually the best years of my life. Yeah. But you wouldn't think that, you know, because all everybody wants to get out of prison and so forth. You know, but actually, in a very real sense, I'd actually be, in a very real sense, quite content staying here.